You got a friend in me.
You've got a friend in me.
Celebrate friendship and beyond during the first ever Pixar Fest with the all-new Pixar-themed fireworks spectacular and your favorite park parades. Celebrate from April 13th through September 3rd, only at Disneyland Resort. Visit Disneyland.com for details.
There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you.
You've got a friend in me.
Entertainment subject to change without notice.
From Paris to Portland, you've picked up the guidebooks. You've followed the advice. This is the Fromer Travel Show. Pauline Fromer, president of Fromer Media, and Jason Cochran, editor-in-chief of Fromers.com, with the most complete, the most up-to-date travel information available anywhere. The pages of the Fromer's guidebooks come alive right now, exclusively on 77 WABC.
Welcome to the Fromer Travel Show. I'm Pauline Fromer.
And I'm Jason Cochran.
And as always, we are going to be talking travel for the next hour. Straight travel. Travel for vacations, travel for business, travel to places where you ski, travel for places to go to the beach or hit the museums. We want to talk travel and we want to talk it with you. So give us a call, 800-848-9222. That's also 800-848-WABC. And to get the discussion started, we're going to do something a little dull. We're going to talk about the weather. And boy, is it cold outside. I am so tired of being cold. So we thought the question of the day could be, where do you go in winter to warm up? Where are the best warm places to escape to for a vacation in winter? Do you have thoughts on that? 800-848-9222. And Jason, what are your favorite of the warm weather places to go?
Well, I have a feeling that our listeners are going to come up with places that are closer to home, so I'm not going to tread on their territory. I'm going to say people never seem to think, go to Australia in our winter because it is their summer. And so you're guaranteed warm weather pretty much wherever you go during our winter months. So I'm thinking of the beaches of Sydney. I'm thinking of the beaches outside of Perth, in Fremantle and Perth, some of the best, widest, least crowded beaches near a city I could name on the in the planet. But people forget that it exists because it is so far away. So I think Australia is a great bet. In the middle of the desert, if you're not a beach person, you still get that summer feel. So let's say Australia.
Australia, that's interesting. I actually was in the red center of Australia in the winter once, and it was a great time to be there, or during our winter. It must have been during our winter. No, it was during their winter because it's really, really hot. It would have been too hot.
In their winter, which is like July or August for us, yeah.
Yeah, no, so I was...
It can be very hot, you're right, in the middle of their summer, but I love that personally.
But you also have the black fly problem there. In the middle of their summer, it gets a little
depending
buggy.
On where you are. It's not the entire nation, of course. Each place has a little ecosystem.
I was talking about like
go.
Uluru, the Ayers Rock area. That can get buggy. I was going to say Costa Rica. It's not a far. It's not as far as Australia. You don't have to jump on a plane for 12-14 hours. And it's always warm, and during our winter, if I'm remembering correctly, it's the dry season there, so you get pretty much glorious weather, and you have so many different types of adventures to have in Costa Rica. It's so much fun. You can do a day in the spa area where the water is heated by magma, not that far under the surface. There used to be an active volcano there. It hasn't been active in about a decade now, but the water still bubbles. It's still warm water thanks to that lava. And then you drive and you're in a cloud forest, and then you drive somewhere else and you're in a rainforest, and then you drive to the beach, and everywhere you go, there are these adorable howler monkeys and Kodamundi and other things to watch. I just love Costa Rica. I think it's an ideal place to go, maybe because I'm not that much of a beach person.
I'm not either.
Yeah.
I don't like maybe it's like a little OCD that comes out in me. I don't normally have it, but I hate sand between my toes. It drives me crazy.
So we want to hear from you. Where would you go this winter to warm up? If you could escape anywhere, where do you think is the best place to go? 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. Let's talk a little bit about some upcoming things in the world of travel. And this just made me laugh. Las Vegas gets more people to marry there in the month of February, specifically on February 14th, than I think anywhere else in the nation. And this year they're doing something special, right, Jason?
I guess, yeah, special. Not romantic, but
no.
Special. Starting on Friday for a week and change, they're going to open up a marriage license office at the airport. So you can land and get validated so you can head off to that chapel right away to get hitched. They think it's going to be a busy wedding season this week, especially in Vegas. They normally marry about 80,000 couples a year, but this year will be even hotter because Valentine's Day is, what, on the 14th?
Uh-huh.
2 days later is the Chinese New Year, which is considered an auspicious time to get married.
Ah.
So the two of them following just 48 hours apart. Yeah, that's going to be some busy. And that's one of the reasons they decided to put this pop-up marriage license issuer at the airport. And so much for the sanctity of marriage, right?
Well, you know, when I was in Las Vegas, I was there on and off for about 7 weeks back when I had my own series of guidebooks, when I was doing the Pauline Frommer Guides rather than the Frommer Guides, which was under the same rubric. It wasn't competitive. And I spent a lot of time watching weddings. They will allow outsiders to look at weddings because I had to review which were the best chapels. And so I have to say my favorite was a place called Viva Las Vegas. It was run by an ex-dancer who used to work, I think, for Cirque du Soleil, and he had the most outrageous costumes that you could get married in. You could get married and look like Elvis and Priscilla, or you could have a Cirque du Soleil wedding in which they put harnesses underneath your costumes and you flew into the chapel. Or you could have a wedding, you know, dressed as the two Blues Brothers. It was just so much fun.
Those are very 70s recommendations, if you think about it. Like, what are the kids today going to want to dress up as? Britney Spears? Celine Dion? What do they dress up
they
now?
They told me that their second most popular day to get, for people to get married after Valentine's Day was Halloween, because a lot of people would dress like mummies or like zombies. Zombie weddings are incredibly popular. Apparently. I don't know why.
To begin your life as the undead wed.
Right, the undead
wed.
Well,
if you want to get married in Vegas, you head there this week. It'll be in the baggage claim area of Terminal 1 is where you can pick up your marriage license. Isn't that romantic?
Well, it's, you know, I love being in Vegas over Valentine's Day because, you know, you see all the brides and grooms in the casino after their wedding, you know, in full regalia. It's either very romantic or a little bit sad. I don't know. I keep going back and forth. But, you know,
there's a lot of Vegas weddings that have lasted. You know, Kelly Ripa is proud of saying she married Mark Consuelos in Vegas, and they have, what, like 3 kids, and they're still going strong. So we're not dissing off all Vegas weddings, but we do think we have it on authority that every now and then people get married in Vegas who didn't really mean to get married.
Right. And it's much less expensive. The average marriage or wedding costs something like $40,000 now. You can do a very nice wedding in Vegas for a couple of hundred. Or you can do a drive-through wedding for about $125. But anyway, let's move to the phones. We have Anthony calling from Old Bridge, New Jersey. Hey, Anthony. How are you holding up? Are you cold? Are you doing okay?
Oh, it's freezing over here, yeah. And thinking about those beaches. Yeah, I was going to recommend Trunk Bay Beach, which is it's just the most beautiful beach I've ever been on. It's in St. John's, which is you'd have to, I guess, fly into St. Thomas. But I've been to that beach like twice, and I haven't found a beach as nice as that. And it's just the water; it's just so it's amazing. I mean, you can kind of snorkel right there, and it's just the amount of stuff going on in that water.
And if I remember awesome. Correctly, St. John's is like something like 70% protected. It's mostly a national park on that island, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, St. Thomas is where all the you know, I guess it's the really more populated area, and then you could take a ferry. I don't think it was really more than 20 minutes to St. John's, and really it's just like maybe like a 4 or 5 mile kind of road that goes down, and then there's a bunch of beaches like Trunk Bay Beach, Cinnamon Beach. So it's really like one kind of corridor, but all the beaches are right off there. And there's a couple of really neat places to stay that are just really cool. I mean, it was one of my favorite beach trips I've ever done. So I would definitely recommend it if anybody's interested in kind of like a really picturesque beach and really something special. That was it. That was really nice.
Yeah, I've been there too, and I recommend it as well. And people were probably listening thinking, well, didn't they get slammed by a couple of hurricanes? Yes, they did, but the cruise ships are back at St. John and St. Thomas. There's a lot of home rentals on St. John especially, although there's also Keneal Bay and a couple other resorts. The home rentals are probably going to be quicker to get back on their feet than some of the resorts will be. But yeah, St. John is open for business, and they're accepting people again. I think some of the vegetation has been trimmed back because of the storms, but it is still beautiful. It's just the cycle of life for the Caribbean islands.
Well, thank you for calling, Anthony. I think you transported us to the Caribbean briefly. We have to take a break. Let me remind everybody, we're taking your calls. We'd love to chat with you about anything in travel. 800-848-9222. Before we go, you know, we were just discussing hurricanes. Things happen when you travel. Sometimes you plan to go to an area and then your resort is wiped away by a hurricane. If that resort doesn't want to give your money back, or if something else happens wrong in travel, it's good to have a company on your side that's expert in dealing with problems. I'm talking about Allianz Travel Insurance. They cover cancellations. They cover delays of your aircraft. They cover you when your luggage gets lost, and so many other calamities they can cover. To learn more about Allianz Travel Insurance, visit Allianz travelinsurance.com. That's Allianz travelinsurance.com.
Pauline Frommer, Jason Cochran, The Frommer Travel Show, only here where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Welcome back to the Frommer Travel Show. This is Pauline Frommer, and I'd love to chat with you. 800-848-9222 is our number. Don't be shy. The lovely Jen will pick up. You know, it was so much fun meeting so many of you at the New York Times Travel Show. For those who didn't get to come, I'll give you a little preview, or I guess it's not a preview because it already happened, but I'll give you a little insight into some of the things I discussed, because I saw a lot of people taking notes. I saw a lot of people taking slides of the photos I put up, and I think this could be helpful. I try to cover the basics when I talk about travel at these travel shows, because that's the things we get the questions on the most. And so one of the things that I covered was airfares. How the heck do you save on airfares today? Well, we're living in an odd time. And for foreign or international travel, there actually hasn't been as time as good as today to book airfares. So currency is now much, much, well, for a while, the currency was very, very, I'm losing my train of thought. For a while, the currency from the U.S. was very powerful overseas, and that stopped people from coming here. Nowadays, it's been dropping in value. But because of that, a lot of people did not plan flights. As well, there's something that people are calling the Trump slump, wrongly or rightly. A lot of Trump's rhetoric has led people outside the U.S. to worry that the United States isn't as welcoming as it used to be, and people are planning their travel elsewhere. The entire world has seen a 7% growth in travel. The United States has seen a 3-4% drop off in the number of people who are coming in. So what does that mean for you? That means that if you are planning to travel anywhere and you want to fly abroad, they want your business. And also there's much more competition because we have these upstart carriers like Norwegian Air, like XL. Both of these go to Europe. XL, which is spelled just the letters X and the letter L, it goes to Paris. You have Asia Air going there. So there are many, many options for you, and there's much more competition. And I've talked to a bunch of travel agents and tour operators, people who lock in prices for the coming year, and they are saying that prices to Asia are down 15% for 2018 over 2017. And 2017 was already down, and they're down 10% going to Europe. So if you've ever wanted to go to Europe, now is a good time to go. As well, there are sneaky things that you can do to get the price of that ticket down to going abroad. For example, say you go to the Norwegian Airlines site. This is a low-cost carrier that goes to Europe, and you find a great price. My suggestion is then go to the Norwegian version of that site. Yeah, you're going to have to use a translator app. It's going to be a little difficult to do. But often you'll find that the price on foreign sites for flights into and out of the United States are lower now because they're trying to lure back a lot of the people who used to come to the United States. So those are two tips. I'm going to come up with more tips and more stuff to talk about. And as well, I'd love to talk with you. Once again, our number is 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. We're going to take a short commercial break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
This is the Frommer Travel Show. Inspiring locations, inspiring ideas for New York. Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
This program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment with Allianz. Visit Allianz, travelinsurance.com. And we hope you'll call us. Once again, our number is 800-848-9222. I seem to have recovered my ability to speak. So let's get back to the phones. We have Bob calling all the way from Salem, Oregon. Bob, are you hearing us over the internet? Is that how you're hearing the show?
No, I called the 800 number, Pauline.
Oh, okay. And, well, great. Well, nice to speak with you. What's on your mind?
My congregation are organizing a trip to Israel, which will have two parts. One will be hiking 9 days on the Israel National Trail. The second will be contact with the people via the I don't know if you've heard of the Israel Story podcast, but they organize trips for people to go to the locations and the protagonists of the stories that they air. They're a show that's similar in presentation to This American Life.
Oh, very cool.
So my question to you is more from the standpoint of an organizer than from the traveler. We're organizing this trip, and I wanted to ask, which part of the airline industry do we go to? Do we go to the retailer part like a traveler would, or is there a wholesaler section that we should consider?
For a group, how many people?
18 people. 18. We're going to go in April or March or April of 2019.
You know, back in the day, people used to get discounts for booking groups on airlines, and now they tend to get taken. You usually pay more. Would it be possible for you to have the members of the trip book their own airfares? Because they may get better prices than you can get as a group. Or would that make people too nervous? Do they really expect this to be fully a group activity?
Well, we will travel as a group. We will hike as a group, and we will.
So you want to fly as a group? Yeah. I would reach out to a travel agency then.
Yeah, I agree. This is not something that, you know. Even if there was a number for groups, you probably want a travel agent in a case like this because they may have an inside line on something that you don't have an inside line on. And they might have some tips that you wouldn't necessarily know about concerning scheduling or airline choice. So I would also reach out to a travel agent in this case. It's a specialized request.
Yeah, yeah. So if there's somebody in the group who knows a good travel agent in your area, somebody they trust, that's the best way to go, I would say.
We're fortunate in that regard that someone in the congregation is in contact. Well, they haven't contacted them yet, but they have a travel agent that they trust. So that sounds like the way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Have a wonderful trip. Can you tell us what the name is of that podcast again? I'd love to hear it.
IsraelStory.org.
IsraelStory.org. It sounds fascinating because I love This American Life. Well, thank you, Bob, and have a wonderful trip. Let's move on to Dan. Dan is calling from Long Island. Hey, Dan, it's Pauline. How are you doing? Are you there, Dan? Dan.
Nope.
Okay, well, I guess we'll have to come back to Dan in a moment. Jason, I started babbling about airfares because we were having some technical difficulties. Jason, as you might have heard from the sound of his voice, is traveling today. He's actually in Los Angeles. Let's talk a little bit about some of the... So I was talking about international fares, but what is your best way of getting discounts on or less expensive domestic tickets, Jason? Do you have thoughts on that?
Well, there's some basic things you should always do. I like to fly early in the morning, especially in the summertime. Early in the morning because fewer people want to go, and in the summertime because storms tend to appear over much of the U.S. later in the afternoon, and those later flights often get delayed. So I do pick early in the morning flights. I also I try to do directs when possible. It doesn't always save me money. But I think, you know, when things start getting delayed, which often happens, for example, in the summertime, there can be a knock-on effect. I just think it's much smoother to go direct.
Right, right. And you want to...
Now, but I also use a good aggregator. Right. I use like HipMonk or Momondo. And the HipMonk and Momondo, I like HipMonk because it looks really easy to understand. It's a graphical user interface. And Momondo because it searches a lot of airfare sellers that I wouldn't necessarily know about otherwise. And then if I choose to book that airfare, it passes me on to that vendor and I book directly with them.
So those who haven't heard of Momondo, it's Momondo.
Yeah.
And sorry.
I try to book about 6 weeks ahead, but I also keep my eye out for the airfare sales. You can usually keep a track of those by following the Twitter accounts of many of the major airlines because the sale prices can often, which usually happen 2 or 3 months ahead of time, can often undercut even the better prices that you would get 6 weeks out. So the best sort of all is if you can snag one of those sales.
Yeah, but that's hit or miss nowadays. And I find that the sales are getting to be less likely. I also like Skyscanner.net, and they not only find very good prices, but they will allow you to set up an alert, and they will alert you when they think that the lowest price is there. Okay, so Dan has apparently passed off the phone to his wife, Joan, in Long Island, and we now have Joan on the line. Joan, thank you so much for calling the Travel Show. Nice to speak with you.
Well, same here, Pauline. We've spoken previously before. We're going to Portugal at the end of May for 11 nights.
Uh-huh.
We're flying in and out of Lisbon, and we're going to rent the car after Lisbon, and we'd like to explore all the small towns. But we're also thinking of maybe taking a river cruise on the Douro River.
Uh-huh.
But we don't know if we should take, like, a one-day cruise or a 5-day cruise or who offers these cruises or if you would suggest doing that.
It's a lovely way to see one of the most beautiful parts of Portugal. I mean, when you're on the Douro River, you're surrounded by vineyards on either bank and cute little towns and castles every once in a while. I mean, if you're going to do a longer river cruise, you do one that you sleep aboard. And offering those in Portugal are AMA Waterways, Quasi Europe, which is spelled Croisi Europe, Scenic, and Uniworld, Vantage, and Viking. And let me go through the differences between them. Quasi Europe is actually one of the largest river cruise companies in the world, and they run trips that Europeans tend to take. So that's good and bad. It's good that you get to meet people from all over Europe on their trips. Their trips tend to be less expensive because they're not geared towards an American audience. But the bad thing is, every 5 minutes there are announcements, and they're in 8 languages, which can get old. Then you have UniWorld, which is over-the-top luxurious. These are the cruises that Marie Antoinette would be taking. I mean, you're going to be having dinner, and after dinner, they're going to serve you 45 different types of cheese and 3 types mm-hmm. of champagne, and very, very luxurious, very, very expensive. Down one rung are Amma and Viking. They're kind of equal. They're luxurious, but not crazy luxurious. And then Vantage and Scenic fall into the budget category, although Scenic is pretty darn nice. And Scenic gets a lot of Australians, so you'll be traveling with them. If you want to save money and have a very nice cruise, Scenic is the way to go. Jason?
Did you also mention Quasi Europe?
Yeah, I said Quasi Europe.
That's another good one. Yeah, they're a French company, and they're used by lots of different people. Yeah.
And Scenic is spelled like Scenic, S-C-E-N-I-C?
Yeah, absolutely. So you either do that, and the nice thing about river cruising is that you're really getting off the boat right in the heart of what you want to see. And all of the, or most of the sightseeing is included. The bad thing about it is you can't just run off and explore on your own. And that's a really wonderful thing to do in Portugal. Portugal is an affordable country. It's a country with a storied history. I mean, at one point, Portugal ruled the world. And you'll see all of the gold that they brought back splattered on the walls and ceilings and accoutrements of all their churches.
Yeah. Would I be able to see as much if I did it by car?
I think you'll probably see more, to be honest, if you do it by car. I mean, you'll see a lot on a river cruise, but you'll see more of what you specifically want to see if you do it by car on your own. Do you agree,
right,
Jason?
Some people just don't want to have to worry about a car in a European country with a tight roads. That's, you know, it's what are you up for? I don't think it's going to be exceptionally difficult. You know, it's just you may not want to tackle that. The reason that travelers enjoy river cruises is they can sit on the boat if they are tired that day, and next city they'll be the next morning. So it all depends on what you're up for, what your stamina level is, and what your concentration level is.
Okay, we're up for driving. We've driven all over Europe.
And I wouldn't worry about it.
We have a wonderful new book out, Fromer's Portugal. It just came out in the last couple of months. It's written by a Brit who's lived in Portugal his whole life and a Portuguese woman who's an incredible expert on food. I hope you'll pick it up. I think you'll be able to easily plan a trip on your own with that book. And with that being said, we have to take another break. Let me remind everybody, our number is 800-848-WABC, which translates to 800-848-9222. Don't be shy. Call us. We'd love to chat with you. Back in a flash.
The most popular destinations for you and your family right here. Pauline Fromer and Jason Cochran, The Fromer Travel Show, 77 WABC.
This program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment from unexpected problems with Allianz. Visit Allianz travelinsurance.com. And let's get back to the phones. We have a lot of people calling us at 800-848-9222. So let's talk to Jackie first. Jackie called from New Jersey. Hey, Jackie, I hear you're going to answer the question of the day.
Well, I actually had 2 questions. One was a little information regarding the question of the day.
Okay.
You were asking for ideas of where to go in our winter.
Yeah.
And I've been researching a trip to Belize.
Ah, wonderful. That's a great place to go.
And I had a question about it. Obviously, you want to spend some time at the beach and some time in the Cayo. I was wondering if in our winter it's very buggy there.
I don't think it's buggier than usual there. I'd have to, I'll be honest with you, I'm editing a Belize book right now, actually. And I'm racking my brain to remember when the rainy season is, which I don't remember offhand. But I don't think it's going to be buggier at that time of year. Look, if you go to the Cayo, it's a jungle. You're going to be surrounded by bugs. So you want to go to a place that has mosquito netting over the beds. Most of them do. But I got to say,
it's their dry season,
then it should be less buggy. Yeah. Spend the majority of your time in the Cayo area. It has the most remarkable adventures there. You're going to be climbing up Mayan temples. You're going to be swimming into caves, which have ancient pots calcified to the floor. You're going to be doing hikes in the jungle and seeing all of these critters. The Keys are nice too. If you're really mm-hmm. into beaches, you don't go to the Keys. They don't really have beaches. You go to Placentia if you want a beach. If you're into mm-hmm. snorkeling though and scuba diving, you go out to the Keys. I think it's a great place to go.
With regards to having easy access to snorkeling in the Blue Hole, and if you wanted to snorkel in those areas, is Palencia too far? Would it be a very far boat ride?
I think it might be about an hour and a half boat ride to the Blue Hole. Mm-hmm. But it has other places to snorkel and scuba dive near it. I mean, the nice thing about Belize is they have gotten rid of all offshore drilling. They are protecting their reef. They know that their money is to be made in travel. And so it's really good scuba diving there.
And would you said, though, you would recommend Palencia versus
Placentia. Ambergris Keys is a little honky-tonk for my taste. It's nice. It's not really beachy. If you're going to do a key, I would do Key Calker instead of Ambergris. It's a little more laid back. Ambergris is just a little too much like Tampa, Florida for my taste. It's just a little too buzzy. I hope that helps. Have a great time. We should move to the other calls. Let's talk to Elaina in Putnam County. Am I saying your name right, Elaina?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, great. So what's on your mind?
I'm looking to travel probably to Italy. I was there a couple of months back. But I would, I'm looking to hook up with a group.
Uh-huh.
Group of people if I'm traveling alone.
Well, there are many ways. There are many groups. One of the things I would recommend is there are these two great marketplaces for tours. One is called tourradar.com. The other one is called Stride Travel, like you're walking and you take a stride. StrideTravel.com. Look at those two sites. Put in the words Italy. Put in the dates you want to go. They'll spit back 40, 50 tours. And you can, on Tour Radar, you can check a box and look at tours that are best for solo travelers.
Right.
So I think that would be a good, and I think you'll enjoy it. That's a great place to go in a group. Let's move on. We have David calling from Forest Hills. Hey, David, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
How you doing there?
Good.
Good.
Hi.
I have three questions just related to one thing. My first question is, which airlines go to Hong Kong?
Are you talking about from New York City?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot that go there one way or another. So to list them would probably be about 15 or 20 long.
Okay,
if you want to go nonstop, yeah.
Okay. I wanted to go to Tokyo and stay over there, go to a Japanese baseball game, and then go to Hong Kong.
What a great plan.
Okay, so you need not only an airline that goes to Hong Kong from New York, but you need to stop in Tokyo, and you need them to let you get off the plane for a couple days without charging you a lot more.
Correct.
And for that, I would say probably Japan Airlines. In the past, it has offered free stopovers in Tokyo. Some of these stopover deals that the airlines offer, they go on, they go off, so sometimes you have to catch them right, and I can't predict what is going to be happening right now. But as a general rule, if you're interested in seeing some country as a stopover, look at its national airlines, because it's probably based in the city you want to go to, and they'll have a hub-and-spoke system. They'll go to that city and then on to other cities from there, so the chances of getting a free stopover are pretty good, because you'll be joining their network at their hub.
Did you say national airlines?
Japan Airlines, yeah. And ANA, I think, has also done does some stopovers, but I'm not sure if they still do. So Japan Airlines is what I would look into. See if they're still offering their free stopover to Japan, to Tokyo.
So,
will Momondo help me get a better rate on Japan?
No, I think when you're doing something like this, because you're planning on getting off the plane for a few days, you can't easily do that with any average search engine. That's a very specific thing. Mm-hmm. I would generally contact the airline directly and find out if they're offering a stopover deal or if they allow you to do it and have them do it. It's worth the extra $15 or so dollars for a reservation because they have the technical capacity to understand the specificity of your stopover request.
Now, some people are telling me that most airlines stop off in Taipei. And if that's the deal, which is more interesting, Taipei or Tokyo?
Most airlines don't necessarily stop off in Taipei. I mean, there's lots of them are going to Chongqing. Some are stopping off in Japan. Some are stopping off in lots of places. But I would say Japan because from Tokyo, it's really easy to get to lots and lots of other places in the country by quick rail. You have more options and a wider range, I think, at your fingertips more quickly in a place like Tokyo.
As someone who's been to both Taipei and Tokyo, I like Taipei a lot. It's a fascinating city, but Tokyo is a world-class city. I don't think they're really comparable. There's just so many things to see and do in Tokyo, whereas in Taipei, you have a handful of really great things to see. In Tokyo, you could spend a lifetime and not see it all. It's just a fascinating place to visit. We have to take another break. Before we go, I got to say thank you to our sponsor, Allianz Travel Insurance. You know, we are partnering with them, not just on this radio show, but also with their policies. When you buy their policies to a couple of dozen places, you also get information from Frommer's, information that will be key to helping you plan a terrific trip. We give you how to plan an itinerary. We tell you what the best places are in terms of the restaurants, in terms of the sites, in terms of the attractions in that destination. To learn more about this, visit Allianz travelinsurance.com. That's Allianz travelinsurance.com.
Get a jump on vacation plans. The Frommer Travel Show. Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran. 77 WABC.
That's right. You are listening to the Frommer Travel Show. And we have Lisa waiting patiently on the line. She called 800-848-9222. We only have Lisa. So if anybody else has a question, we can probably take you if you call now after Lisa. We have a 1 hour show. Hey, Lisa, thank you for your patience. Appreciate you calling.
Oh, hi. Nice to speak with you.
You
too. So my question is this. We're going to be traveling to Australia the first week in April. And we have a short, you know, time to see quite a lot of things, we know. But we're torn between going to the Daintree Rainforest or going to the Kurunda Village by the Scenic Railway. We can't do both, and we don't know which would be a better way to go.
Okay. For our listeners who were curious about where these things are, they're in Queensland, not far away from the city of Cairns. So often people will go to the Great Barrier Reef and then turn their attention inland. And there's a bunch of different attractions inland. One of them is the Daintree National Forest. Daintree, because it's a national forest, is a lot more about nature, animals. You know, you can do 4x4s into the forest. You can see the crocodiles, that kind of thing. So it's for a nature lover. Kurunda is a bit more of a touristy thing. There's, yes, an old-fashioned railway, which is, I think, used to be used by maybe the sugarcane growers in the old days that have been converted for tourists. You go up into the forest, but it's not as unspoiled. There's a cultural village. There's a gondola you can ride, you know, like skiers use, over the leaves of the treetops. There's, I think, an Aboriginal display. But it's more touristified. It's more almost like a cruise ship excursion. So, but it's great because it gives you a range of different exposures in the same day. Whereas Daintree, it's just about nature for the most part.
Okay. All right.
Does that help, Lisa?
Yeah, it does. Because we don't have that much time, we do want to try to see a little bit of everything if possible.
Okay.
So that probably makes sense for us to go that route.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling. And we have Elliot calling from Chestnut Ridge. Hey, Elliot, always nice to hear from you. Elliot, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah. Hey, it's Pauline.
Hey, Elliot.
Hello, how are you? I have a recommendation for a warm weather place.
All right, great. Where is it?
For the last 5 years, My wife and I have been going to Antigua in the Caribbean. First week in December.
Wow.
It's the land of 365 beaches, and we're going back this December. We stay at a place, part of the hotel chain called the Elite Island Resorts. They have four properties in Antigua, and we just love it.
Well, one of the nice things about going to Antigua is that you do have that variety of beaches. I mean, you're right. One for every day of the year.
That's right.
Now, remind me, was it hit at all by the last hurricane? Have you heard anything about how it's doing?
No, nothing. We were there this past December, nothing. Everything is shipshape.
And I think you're very, very smart, which doesn't surprise me because we know you're a longtime listener to the travel show. But you are going probably one of the slowest weeks of the year. When you travel in early December, very few other people are because they're saving up their money to travel over the Christmas and New Year's holidays. So you probably get a great deal at that time of year.
Yes, I do. The airfare is low, and it's right before high season with the race change on the 15th of December. That's why we go the first week in December.
Yeah, well, a good tip. Thank you so much, Elliot, for calling. Always so nice to hear from you.
You know, I was looking during the show to see how St. John had fared because one of our first callers of the day had talked about how it's a great warm weather destination, and it is. But Keneal Bay, which is the big resort there, won't be open for this entire year, they think. It was so heavily hit. And some of the less expensive eco resorts like Concordia also rebuilding this year. So in the case of St. John, it might be where you have to turn to home rentals because they were much quicker to get themselves back together this year. And next year we can start looking at the resorts again.
Yeah, well, good advice. You know, we get a lot of advice from our family members. And Jason, you wrote a very interesting article recently about something that happened to a family member of yours that made you realize that something in travel was very hard to understand.
Yeah, well, we were in Orlando and I went to pick up a family member at the airport and realized as I was heading out to the airport that she had booked a cheaper airline, Allegiant, which does not fly into the main Orlando airport. But she's going, in fact, she went to the Orlando Sanford International Airport. And if you're from outside Orlando, you don't realize that Orlando is in the name of the airport, but the airport is not in Orlando.
Oh,
the
my.
Main airport, MCO, 20 minutes away from all the attractions. This airport's 50 miles.
Oh.
But this airport has trademarked Orlando into the name of it so that I guess it will start attracting more business, I'm thinking. But there are people who don't know the geography and don't realize that Sanford was not the name of some great aviator that they named the airport after. It's the name of the town that's actually closer to Daytona than it is to Orlando. So I wrote an article about, and it's been quite a popular article. I think a lot of people have had this problem, that you got to be careful if you're going to Orlando. Don't pick Sanford unless you want to go to Sanford, which is, you know, much further away from town.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's actually gotten a lot of eyes. It's fascinating. Jason, as I think most of you know, is the editor-in-chief of Fromers.com. He and I write things about travel on it all the time. Like, I'm about to run home and write an article on the fact that passports are about to go up in price in April. They're going to go up. I have to research exactly how much. One of my sources shot this to me. So if you need to get a passport renewed or your first passport, get it now. Don't wait until April because prices are going up. And that's the last thing you want to be spending money on, I think, is the passport. It's already too expensive.
Now's a good time anyway because summer travel hasn't started. Now's a quieter time because by April, May, June, when the price has gone higher anyway, people are going to be rushing for the summer plan. So now's a quicker time to get a passport anyway.
And one of the things people often forget is if you're traveling somewhere and your passport is due to expire in 6 months, they might not let you in the country.
That's right.
I'm hearing music. It means it's time to say goodbye. We thank you so much for listening. And to those who are traveling, may we wish you a hearty bon voyage.
Bon voyage.